Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our carol service. I have to keep reminding myself which service I'm on. It's great to see everybody here. And you've all got an order of service, yes? Yes, good. So we'll proceed as per the sheet. So if you have a reading, a poem, or anything else, just come up during the last verse of the carol before. And we'll proceed like that. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can come today and proclaim glory to God in the highest. We thank you that you are the hope of our hearts, that you are the peace in our lives. You are the joy for everyone in this world. Lord, we thank you that you came down that first Christmas to bring love to everyone. Let us sing praises to our God. Let us offer this light against the darkness. Amen. Thank you, Brian.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, a bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
the birth of Jesus foretold.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?"
Mary said to the angel.
"Since I am a virgin."
The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God."
"I am the Lord's servant,"
Mary answered.
"May it be to me as you have said."
Then the angel left her.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Dear Father God, we come this afternoon to worship you and praise your wonderful name this Christmas time. When we reflect on the events that first Christmas, we marvel at your amazing gift to us when you sent your Son into the world, born in that humble stable, so that people would see your love for us in sending Jesus. We thank you that we can come this afternoon to sing the carols and hear the familiar readings from the Bible, retelling all the events of that first Christmas. We think at this time of our friends in hospital and our friends that are being cared for. Fill them with your peace as they face each day, unsure of what's to come, but knowing that you're with them every moment of every day. We pray for peace in our world, that people will see that war is no way to settle their problems, and that too many innocent people lose everything they hold dear. Lord, we pray for our hurting world. Help us to renew our efforts as we pray for each troubled situation this Christmas and comfort all those who mourn. We continue to pray for the shoeboxes that have gone out across the world, showing children with so little that we do care about them. Lord, we ask that you will bless each one as they open their shoebox and enjoy the contents, knowing that they've been sent with love. Give these children that hope to grow up and know that they're special to you. We ask that you will come alongside us now. Walk with us this Christmas time, that you will become very real to us, so we can imagine that joy that the shepherds felt as they hurried to Bethlehem, and the delight of the wise men as they finally found the child after many nights following that star. Be with us as we journey towards Christmas. Keep us singing the carols that tell of your birth and impart their meaning deep in our hearts. As the carol invites, enter then, O Christ most holy, make a Christmas in my heart. Make a heaven on my manger. It is heaven where thou art. Amen.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to her son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, and it's the birth of Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. This is the word of God.
Thank you. This is a poem I found on the internet. It's by Thomas Moussan and it's called Advent. Gabriel, O Gabriel, have you made haste? Have you the byways of Nazareth traced? Herald of heaven, on wings take your flight, bearing your message of love and of light. Mary, O Mary, what will you say? How could you know God would work in this way? Step forth in faith, feel the promise of life with its full measure of joy and of strife. Joseph, oh, what have you heard? What have you seen in your dream of the word? Crafter of wood, now a cradle prepare, bed for the blessing the world will soon share. Brothers and sisters, oh, what will we do when in our lives we hear God call anew? Watch, wait, and pray that this story of old now in our lives in new ways will be told.
The shepherds hear about Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
After Jesus was born in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country via another route.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name and gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Just a little thought before we eat. I make no secret that John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, is my favourite Christmas reading, or that John's gospel is my favourite gospel. John doesn't give us any of the detail like Matthew and Luke that we've already heard. He's had time to reflect on who Jesus is, and he wants his readers to know too. I think probably one of the most profound things that I've read so far this Christmas, because we've still got some more week, another week to go, is a quote from C.S. Lewis. "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." And that enables all of us, each one of us, to be children of God. As part of his eternal plan, he stepped out of heaven and became a man so you and I could look at Jesus and say, "This is what God looks like. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness." The Apostle John described this stepping down in what we had just heard from John. Thank you. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This verse is the climax of John's prologue as he completes his introduction of Jesus by proclaiming his humanity in the midst of his divinity. And that's a whole other service. We haven't got time for that today. This verse contains the truth behind the story of the angels and the shepherds and the journey to Bethlehem that first Christmas morning. Without this verse, the rest of the story has no meaning. John 1:14 tells us what really happened over 2,000 years ago and what it means to us today. Those key words, full of grace and truth. And so that verse reveals four great certainties for us to really get hold of. Jesus became human. John states the Word became flesh. We see that link with the beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God." Sorry, "was with God, and the Word was God." The Word that always was now became a time-based event at a point in history. Also, the Word that was God now came into being as flesh. That is, he exists as a human being. We often say that Jesus is God, and he is, that's true. But amazingly, as someone puts it, Jesus was God with skin on. When he stepped down, it was to reveal the nature of the Father in a language that we could understand. He was God announcing to the world, "I have come." When Jesus stepped down, the infinite God took on the form of a tiny unborn baby boy. And we understand that Jesus lived among us. Verse 14 reveals that his residence of God on earth, and he made his dwelling among us. The word "dwell" here literally means to pitch a tent. Did you know that? I actually have a book that says when Jesus pitched his tent, or as many theologians put it, to tabernacle. So he tabernacled among us because it was the divinely appointed meeting place between God and man. And in the same way, perhaps in a deeper sense for us now, Jesus is the place where we meet God today. Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases this verse: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I like that. That makes it much more succinct, doesn't it? He moved into the neighborhood. For 33 years, God moved into our neighborhood and lived among us. This is why God became human. He came to pitch a tent so that he could have a relationship and we could have one with him as children of God. And Jesus revealed God's glory. Next, John speaks of the manifestation of God's glory. It says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. When John writes, we have seen, he uses a word that means to gaze intently upon. It's almost like staring at, or to study as if you're in a laboratory and you're looking at something as an experiment. When Jesus stepped down, when he walked on the earth, people could see, they could gaze upon God's presence shining through Jesus. They saw the importance of God in their lives. Jesus was not invisible, nor was he vague. When we look at Jesus, we see the face of God. God wants to be seen and to be known in his Son. When we hear Jesus teach, we hear God teach. When we come to experience Jesus, we come to experience God. In Jesus, we see God. And Jesus invites us to himself. There is a powerful word of invitation at the end of that verse. It tells us that Jesus came to earth full of grace and truth. When he stepped down, Jesus offered us grace and truth. These are the final two great pair of words of John's prologue as he introduces Jesus. Grace is defined as an irresistible compulsion to give humanity more than they deserve, which springs spontaneously from the boundless generosity of God. Truth, on the other hand, has its roots in a divine determination to be consistent, expected, and thereby trustworthy in dealing with humankind. It's been said that grace without truth is easily seen as sentimentality, while truth without grace can appear to be an inflexible rigidity. These two words explain why Jesus stepped down, coming to earth, because he was full of grace. He died for you and me while we were yet sinners. Because he is full of truth, he was able to pay for our sins completely. And here is the good news for all people everywhere. Someone said that because Jesus is graceful, we can come just as we are to him. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. That's a relief, isn't it? And because he is truthful, we can come in complete confidence, knowing that he will keep his promises. I think the one present that the world needs is grace and truth. We find it in Jesus Christ. The Son of God became a man to enable humankind to become children of God. Jesus wants to be involved with each one of us. He wants to take residence in our lives. He wants to be center of our lives. He wants to be engaged and involved. Many often think of God as being up there somewhere, far removed from the cares and concerns of his created world. But because Jesus became a man, God came down here, living in our midst. We could never reach him up there, but in love, he came down here to us. He became touchable, approachable, and reachable. Love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely. Love divine. Amen. Let's pray. Emmanuel, God with us, may we pause amidst the busyness and excitement of Christmas to thank you again for lowering yourself and entering our world as one of us. Thank you, Father God, that you have a plan, a rescue plan for each one of us. Thank you for being with us in every moment of our lives. Thank you that we never have to be alone because you, God with us, love us so much that you are here with each of us always, even when we don't recognize it. May each moment of our days be filled with that life-strengthening truth as we take our places as children of God and bring praise and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come and join us for tea after the service. Let's pray. May the God of the angels who heralded Christ's birth bring joy to your hearts this day and always. May the God of love, who gave his only Son to be born for you, fill your life with love and peace. May Emmanuel, God with us, be with you in all your doings and all your celebrations until he brings you into his eternal kingdom. And may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and evermore. Amen.